Amen. Thanks, Todd. Can you hear me? Are we good? Mic is on? Very good. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. So good to see everybody today. Just feels like the richness of the Lord is here, and just brought a great word in the sharing time. You know, it's like when God feels absent, it's because He's encouraging us into a new place in Him. It's because He's going to be showing us how much bigger He is than where we are at now, so we have the chance to step forward. And this is part of what is being talked about in Titus 3, as we talk about today, because we're continuing finishing up Titus here today. So we're doing Titus 3. So let's just go ahead and start. We're going to start with Scripture, then we're going to talk about kind of the fundamental aspect of Titus 3. So Twyla, if you want to go ahead and go to the first one, 3:1. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle towards everyone. So, you know, Paul is into the practical exhortations here to Titus. What does it look like to live out your faith in God? What does that look like? And here he's basically saying God has orchestrated the order of government, and so we don't slander government. You know, even human organizations are, by God's allowance, healthy and helpful to us in general. Now, obviously, there's going to be exceptions to that. So we, even in those cases, we still respect that God has put them in authority. God has put government in our authority. But we would then be able to operate in a healthy way to put input into government, like in our society, where things are unhealthy. So, but and yet our fundamental approach is God, you know, the kingdom of God in the universe is so massive, so great, and eternity awaits us. And so everything that occurs here on this earth is only provisional. We don't have to be fully invested in this earth and what's going on here, whether something succeeds or doesn't succeed, especially moral things, right? You know, you see out in media, you see people freaking out about all sorts of things, and it's like a liver death thing, a live liver die. You know, it's like they're like, well, you know, we need to kill this person to get this or that done, right? We see it right now with Putin, right? People are out there in the media going, we need to kill Putin. Okay, now that may be, you know, again, what the government decides they want to try to do, but that's not an attitude that we want to stay with, right? Because God is so much bigger than just one dictator. Always, always and forever, He's so much greater than that. And so we don't have to be caught or stay caught in this place of thinking one big thing, one big silver bullet on earth is going to fix everything. Never going to happen, never. This world is fractured and broken. We're living in a temporary time here, right? Eternity is where perfection comes in, not down here. So we don't have to be thinking there's ever going to be one silver bullet in my life. If I've got things going on that are not working well, there's never going to be one silver bullet, and there's never going to be for society either, right? Simply because of the nature of this world is fractured and broken. And God hasn't designed this world to have the ultimate freedom and peace that He's looking for. Now, does He do things, incredible things in our lives? Absolutely. Does He do miracles? You bet He does. Does He heal our bodies? Does He raise the dead? Yes, He does, right? But it's still within this provisional world. You see what I'm saying? And it's still the invitation to invite us into that greater place with Him and that honor. So does that make sense? I mean, I know you guys are getting it. I just, you know, we're talking together here. But there's just so much power in the kingdom and so much power in the Spirit that rises up, you know, when we talk about these things together. You know, it's such a joy and such a pleasure. All right, so we have something going on there. So, all right. Okay, that's cool. Well, I've got it up. It's a good thing I have it up here. So, and verse 2, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle towards everyone. Again, same framework, right? If God is ultimately the greatest thing ever, and He is, then whatever is happening here, we can approach it with equanimity. We can approach it with confidence. We can approach things like, I can input into the situation in good things. Yeah, there may be truth to be told, absolutely, but I can do it in a healthy way. I can be lifting towards the Lord and lifting towards resolution. So Paul is talking to Titus here and talking to us by extension, right? He's basically saying these are the good things to do. All right, number 9 then. I'm going a little bit out of order in the verses, but I'm going more conceptual order. But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. All right, let's just stop there for now. So, okay, genealogies and all these things are important, right? Matthew has the genealogy of Jesus right at the very beginning. He goes every generation from Adam all the way to Christ. So he tracks it, right? These are important. But when they become, when we're so fine-tuned to the details like this, and that's the only thing we're thinking about, we can get unbalanced. We remember the big picture. We're majoring on the majors, majoring on the major doctrines. You know, God exists, God loves us, God's perfect, we're sinful and fallen. You know, God, Christ came to redeem us, we're able to be saved, we're able to be liberated and set free, we join together in church. The major things that are important are the majors. And so, as he goes on, when a person focuses so much on this, on the minors, they make that the major, they've twisted things. They've inverted things upside down. Warn a divisive person once, and then warn them a second time. After that, have nothing to do with them. You may be sure that such people are warped and sinful, they're self-condemned. So again, Paul is kind of saying, when a person focuses on the minors and just fixates on them to such a degree that all the big picture is really taken away, okay, that's going to lead to division, it's going to lead to difficulty, it's going to lead to that person thinking, things kind of have to be my way. You know, I really can't work in the community, everything's got to go my way, or else I'm going to really take up my toy and go home, right? And so, you know, again, we've met some people like this, and sometimes we may get caught in this ourselves in certain ways, right? I mean, it's and again, that's the opportunity for us to go back to God. Okay, God, please change me if I need to be changed. Please let my heart, let the love come into my heart so that I'm able to not fixate on one little thing. And I'm able to be healthy in the big picture. Yeah, there's things that we need to work out, right? That's always part of the deal. And it's part of the fun of walking with God is, right, you find he shows you new things and you realize, hey, I could have done that better, right? But I will now. I will going forward. So when we have that proper balance, it's a good thing. But yet the people that are still caught in the old world of everything's got to focus on me, they can become divisive because they're focusing just on where they're at. And they kind of want everyone else to kind of like be focused on that same thing in the way they are as well. And so just again, just kind of the reminder of how it is to walk with God. We're looking at the big picture. We're looking at God, honoring him, blessing him. We're looking at knowing ourselves, understanding ourselves, and knowing that we're incredible value to God. We're incredibly loved by him. And yet we're a work in progress. And then to extend other people love and care to try to encourage them into that same place with the Lord, you know, to come to him. So Paul is talking about these things. Number 3. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. Right? So, some of us in here have been caught in those places in the past. You know, some of us have been caught in those places. Right? And so, foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. And we'll touch on this again a little bit, but enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. It's like when a person's focus is their pleasure, because they don't know they're loved by God and they're fighting to be loved and fighting to find love and meaning, right? They get really caught up in things. They get caught up in bad things in the end. Because, you know, again, this world was not designed. This fractured world is not designed by God for us to live in pleasure all the time. Absolutely, there's pleasure here. But is it all the time? No. Does duty involve going beyond what's simply fun and pleasurable to do the right thing? Absolutely it does, right? Is there deep satisfaction from following God and honoring and blessing Him and doing the right thing every day as best we can? Absolutely there is. There's an incredibly deep sense of pleasure. But when pleasure itself, like sensual, like sexual or financial pleasure, or you know, buying what you see or want to, or eating everything you want to eat, when that's really the focus, things are askew. Huh. Yeah. And that's putting it nicely. It can get really bad, right? And this is why, of course, many people get caught in drug addictions and addictions to many different things, eating or just all sorts of addictions, right? It's like there's often that deep place where they feel unloved or unvalued or something has gone wrong, and so they're now going to express it, try to fix that by drinking or having too much sex or overeating or eating the wrong things, not being controlled, being abusive to someone else. Because there's a deep place they're not being loved and cared for. They don't sense it. And often that's because they're setting themselves up as their own God and they're not going to the true God to be loved and valued. Always the solution on these things is to say, God, you are sovereign. I love you. I honor you. I'm feeling verklempt for those of you that are of proper generation, right? Verklempt was an old Saturday Night Live skit. One of the comedians, a guy, played an old Jewish lady in New York, and Pat will resonate with this. And she would be on her cable talk show, you know, kind of talking with people and just emoting with them. And then she would get so caught up in something, she'd say, "Oh, I'm so verklempt. I'm just verklempt." So it's like she's just tense and caught up in something, and everything is, it's just really stressful. So she can't really, she's just stuck on it, right? So whenever we get verklempt about something, right, we go and say, "God, you're God. I care for you. I love you. I honor you. I'm verklempt about this, right? Please love me in that deep place. Please love me in that deep place. Wherever it is that I need to be loved and valued right now, please love me in that place because I want you to be honored and blessed. And if you want me to stay in this verklempt for a while because I need to change, that's okay. But I don't want this thing to dominate me. I don't want this verklempt to dominate me, right? Because that's not honoring to you because I'm your child. And I should be making progress in you. I should be making progress into peace, into freedom, into love, right? And so this is it. And then, of course, there's a spiritual dimension beyond that, and we'll get to that here in a little bit. All right? So some of us have been there. You know, we lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating others, right? Again, when you don't have something and someone else has it, you're going to fight to get it if you don't have God in your life. You're going to fight. You're going to damage other people. Because you don't have something that you need. You need to be loved and valued and cared for. All right, the good news. Verse 4. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done. Not because of what we had done. But because of His mercy. Because the incredible generous God who's created everything and sustains everything, has given us mercy, has looked on us with love and tenderness and compassion, and said, "I will help you, even if you're not lovely right now, I will help you." Mm-hmm. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. So, He's pointing us to that one beyond us. He's pointing us to the one who exists beyond us. He's pointing us to Jesus and saying He's the one that has saved us. He's the one that has blessed us. He's the one that has honored us. So this is awesome. Verse 14, our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good in order to provide for urgent needs and not live unproductive lives. So again, Paul is simply saying we don't simply wallow in the joy of being in God's presence. We don't simply wallow in the spiritual life, right? Okay, we should in a good way, but we also use that to then be productive in the natural, generally, generally speaking, we should be finding that place to contribute in the natural. So we're working, we're progressing, we're building His kingdom, we're caring for people, we're having the resources in whatever area we're called to really be productive. We're building the resources to honor God and to bless God and to bring His freedom. So these are really, really awesome things. Now, what's kind of the thing? Well, I was going to ask a question, but let's do it this way. So the thing that the Lord really brought to me this week, kind of thinking about this, is the core of Titus, the core of this stuff, is basically our decisions to live, to change our character, to affirm what we're doing great, and to move ourselves forward in our character, our choices about life. Because fundamentally, you know, Paul is basically saying, okay, the truth is down here, and Titus, I want you to work out what it means to walk with God into these practical areas, right? And so the incredible thing is that each of you, each of us, have the opportunity to work on our character before the Lord. Each of us have that opportunity, right? Nobody else can do it for you, right? Your spouse can't do it for you. Your kids can't do it for you. Your parents can't. Your friends, I mean, everybody can help, right? To one degree or another, right? Depending on where they're at and where you're at. People can help. They can assist. But in the end, you stand before the Lord, and you have the opportunity to maximize who you are in Him, right? That's the key thing. God, He's given you free will to control yourself. He's given you free will to step into what He wants you to do, to have that opportunity, you know, to really do the great things. And so, you know, you really have to kind of sit back and think to yourself as you're kind of going through life, and when you hit those moments of really thinking through, those moments when you're really deciding who you want to be and you're really thinking through what's happening, and you know, you're kind of focused on the big important things, right? We go back to this idea of, you know, we kind of like grow a plant in a sense in our character. You know, it's kind of like growing a plant. It's kind of like being a gardener. It's kind of like you know, growing corn or potatoes or beans. And you know, we don't do that as much anymore because, you know, we go to the grocery store now. But a lot of folks still do, you know, grow their garden. Betsy grows a garden. My dad is a big gardener. He used to love it. Still does. And so it's an entirely different world than going to the grocery store, right? It's an entirely different world. So again, we're kind of doing a shift here to thinking not kind of in the modern American Western way of, you know, going to buy whatever I'm looking for. But now we're kind of thinking about nurturing this plant, nurturing this food from the beginning. So you have to basically go out and get the seed to you know, get the seed or the young plant, right? So you go to somebody that's already worked on it or is providing that for you, right? And that ends up being God in the end, right? God really provides us all that we need to basically understand who we are and to step forward in His kingdom. And so the first thing I have to realize is I'm going to the author of salvation. I'm going back to God. So at every step of my life, I'm going to reframe with Him. I'm going to reset. I'm going to set, you know, kind of set what He wants me to do. I'm going to reframe. So that's the beginning. Then you plant it. So you prepare the soil, right? You maybe have to rototill the soil. You have to clear off what had previously been there. You have to, you know, kind of prepare the area for it, get kind of prepped. You know, you want to have a good situation. You want to have some sunlight coming in, appropriate for the plant. You want to have it to be able to get water and rain when rain comes in. You know, you want to clear away the, you know, any sort of grasses or weeds around it that are going to choke it out, right? The same thing applies, right? You know, we want to basically have our spiritual life, our walk with God, occupy that ideal place in our heart, on our altar, right? The altar of what we worship and what we think is important. We want that connection with God, that honor with God, to occupy the ideal spot where it's going to get sun, it's going to get water. You know, it's like we've cleared away the things that might be entangling us, right? We're trying, we're in our mind, we're working hard to say, I'm not going to let money or the love of money, basically the love of money or the lust for money, I'm not going to let that be the prime driver of who I am. No. I mean, money's important, provision's important, but is that going to be my God? No. 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 I do not want it to be my God. No. It's never going to do it. It's a false God. It's an idol. Right? Do I want one certain relationship to be my God? And is there a person out there that's going to fulfill me forever and make everything happy and great and they all lived happily ever after? Right? No, that's not going to work either, is it? It's not going to work. Even if I think that person is myself. Like, oh, if I fill all my desires and do everything I want to do and I get everything I want in life, then everything's going to be grand. No, that's not going to work. You kidding? No way. And how about experiences? Experiences life. Well, if I can only, you know, go to Barcelona and to have a vacation in Barcelona, everything will be great. Is that going to work? No, not in the end. It'll be good. It probably will be a vacation, a recreation time, which is good. But it's not going to work in the big picture at all. And so, and even you know, sensuality, you know, having sex, getting married, having sex, how this all fits together. I mean, in the end, any of these things that we do, there's a hollowness in even the joy of things here on earth. There's a center, which unless God is there, and that pleasure is considered to be a secondary thing in our lives. We're not after the pleasure itself for itself. We're after because God may be in that, and then we receive the pleasure from it. That's the far better way to look at it. Because then I'm not going to get stuck, you know, in the things that Paul is talking about in Titus. I'm not going to get stuck in these human things being so important to me that I'm going to be divisive. I'm going to be angry. I'm going to be bitter. I'm going to be fighting people. I'm going to be hating them. Right? And so having that sense of there's always kind of the core, and this is kind of what Jess talked about today. There's kind of like that sense of God needs to be in the center of everything in our life. Right? And sometimes we experience it and sometimes we don't, right? I mean, sometimes we're really aware that God is in something, but sometimes it feels like he's a million miles away. But that's okay too. He's still God. He's still bigger than me. So my senses at that point are not trustworthy. My feeling is not trustworthy, right? Now, it's really me. I'm feeling that, so that's okay, but I don't have to live that way. No, I live because God is here. I live that God is very directly approachable, even if I don't feel that way, because he's so much bigger than I am. And so everything that we're after, you know, sensually on this earth or whatever, right, we kind of live with that center, that God needs to be in the center of it, and then it makes sense. Then it can be used in a healthy way. But if I'm after just my own pleasure, my own joy, you know, whatever, sex, eating, relationships, whatever, things are going to crack and go awry. And they can go very badly awry because I'm putting my trust and hope in something that's not God. I'm putting it in something fragile and fallible down here. It's not going to work. And so this is the awesome thing. It's the awesome thing that God is doing is shows us this, right? And I know each of you, especially the folks that have had a few more years of experience. I mean, you're looking back right now. You're seeing five or six times where that very same thing happened. You were counting on something or wanted something, and all of a sudden, over time, it hollowed out in the middle. That earthly thing hollowed out, and you started realizing that only God filling the center of it could really make sense and really is the way to go forward. And so that's an awesome thing. Back to our garden. The other thing we have to watch about is mice coming and eating, or deer, or whatever. Do raccoons eat garden stuff or not? Rabbits. Yes. For all you lettuce lovers, it's like rabbits are your enemy. So again, there's always going to be attackers against your faith, right? So the demons are always out there coming after you, and people are always in one form or another, you know, they may not understand God yet, and they may be rebellious against God, right? And so they're going to come at you with different perspectives than you have. They're going to have a whole different mind frame about life. Because to them, the world is all there is. And it's like they are not yet, if they're not honoring God yet, right? And especially if they've chosen not to honor Jesus yet, okay? They're locked into a very, very negative closed system down here on the earth. And so they're not going to have the perspective of eternity. They're not going to have the perspective of Jesus. They're not going to have the open, free, liberating, fulfilling perspective of Jesus. They are going to be caught generally, over time, they're going to be caught in that dog-eat-dog world, right? Where it's always zero sum. You know, if you win, I'm going to lose, right? So I've got to win and you've got to lose because that's just the way it needs to be, the earthly mindset. Okay, but we don't want to go there. We don't want to stay there. We understand it. We love them. We care. We want to give them a bridge to come out of it, right? So we try to coordinate and we try to love and care and communicate. But it's like no, we don't want to stay in that place. We don't want to lock into that mindset. And so we have to kind of remind ourselves and go back to meditating with God. You know, meditating on scriptures, talking with friends. Maybe getting together a couple weeks with a good friend and saying, let's talk Jesus and how he's impacting my life now. Let's get current with where God's at so I have more energy and strength and just spiritual oomph to stay in that right place with him and to be continuing. Because there's always the world is just always grinding on us, right? There's always the grind, right? There's always the grind against what we're stepping forward to into God. And so finding those people to basically reconnect with and to talk God with and to listen, I mean, that's why you're here today as well, because we're setting together as a community. We set our hearts together to honor and bless God and to be encouraged together as we're operating. And so that's why we're here. And the Holy Spirit shows up because he does. Whenever Jesus is honored, where two or three are gathered, that's where he is in the midst of them. And so that's why when you're here, things seem more clear. They seem more clear and focused, and God is honored and blessed, and things are just more substantial in a really good way. And so read the scriptures, meditate, listen to sermons, right? Listen to sermons. You know, when you're driving in your car or what have you, listen to sermons where people are putting God in the center. And then, of course, if you're having supernatural problems, right, it's like we go against the demons. Right, we talk to them and tell them and we don't really we don't go looking for it, but anytime it seems like there's some especially supernatural or especially disturbing things going on that's not really natural, then we go after the demonic forces and we basically tell them to go, and we calm them down, we tell them to have less effect, and we go in Jesus' name, and powerful things begin to happen because you know. We as people, the supernatural is always popping through into our lives and everybody. So even if people deny it and they just kind of live in a natural world set, the supernatural is going to pop through anyway. And so now again, as we've talked about before, we're seeing kind of the supernatural come up into entertainment, movies and TV shows now. Again, witches and warlocks and this whole thing. And, again, it's like they don't have the right view on it, but there is power there. There is power. And so we want to be able to step into this place and speak to people that we know to show them power, to let them see God's power for healing and health, but not simply just for personal gain, but so that God may be honored and held up. So that his truth and his blessing may be held higher. So this is incredibly good stuff. And so we have the ability then to stand against those pests that are trying to get after our plants of character and growth and honor, right? We have the ability to spot them. We put up fences, right? You put a fence around your garden. You do the same thing in the spiritual world, right? It's like you choose, I'm not going to watch this movie or this TV show. I'm not going to spend a huge amount of time on this thing because I'm choosing to go the harder but good but better road of focusing my mind on the kingdom above. So we put up fences, right? We also go after them if we have to keep them out, and so we have these opportunities. Along the way, we're hoeing, so this is something that happens. We have to kind of get up every day going, yes, I'm going to have to be working today to honor you, God. It's like When we get up, and God gives us days of break, yeah, but when we get up and kind of say, okay, I'm going to have to work today to honor God and bless Him, that's a much better starting point than coming up, getting up and saying, if I'm doing everything right with God, today's going to be an easy day. I'm going to be in nirvana, right? I lived that way for a long time, but that doesn't seem to work over time. It just doesn't seem to go. And I see heads nodding. Yeah, it doesn't go. So I need to be waking up going, okay, Lord, today's going to be a challenge. There will be challenges in this day. Please love me and help me and let me work hard to honor you and bless you. Let me see victory today, but also let me love and value my contribution to building my character to love you. Let me love and value the effort I'm going to put in today to honor and bless you. Let that be what my success is, not whether I feel better about myself at the end of the day. You see? You see that distinction? So the valuing then is what I'm working on trying to do, my effort I'm putting in, my healthy effort I'm putting in, not the results that I can measure with how I feel about a situation. So this is I think, a massive thing in growth, because once a person has really come into this place, they're now into mature. It's like, I forget the scripture, I didn't look it up, but something like when a person has suffered for Christ, they're done with sin. Remember that concept in the New Testament? The same thing. When a person has chosen to make the effort to work hard to love God and honor God, sin is going to be much farther away from their mind. They're not going to get stuck in it because they're choosing to go the hard road. They're choosing to go the hard road to honor God and to bless God, and they will receive the benefits, by the way, no question, right? But they're choosing to do the hard work, and therefore they're going to be going away from sin. They're going to be getting closer and closer to the presence of the Most High. And the Most High will affirm them and bless them and honor them. He will affirm us and bless us and honor us when we do that hard work to focus in on Him and think about Him and bless Him and have the grace. And then, of course, comes the harvest. Betsy, did I miss anything on this? Or is that good?
You gotta weed it.
Gotta weed it. That was kind of what I was just talking about. You gotta get up every day and work, so. Okay, so we're weeding it every day, basically, or, you know, every, you know, 2 days or whatever, right? After it rains, then you have to weed it a lot, so, yes. But then when you've done these things, and you're living this life, and you're enjoying God's presence, then comes the harvest, right? The harvest of righteousness, the harvest of honor, the harvest of blessing, right? And you'll find you have many people that love you and care for you, many people that will hear who you really are, right? Because we believers, it's like we really get good at trying to hear where people are, right? Not just simply have to interpret them through the way I see them, right? Because that's, we leave that for people that are stuck on themselves, right? But we really try to hear who our friends and fellow believers and even people we meet, we try to hear who they are. We try to listen. I remember when I was going to undergrad, and I don't know, I mean, I didn't really feel like a Christian at the time because my focus was not on God, and it was a Christian school, and I remember I was listening to tunes with Barry, a guy's name was Barry Felt. We were listening to tunes, and I was laying in a bunk, the bottom bunk, and he was in the top bunk in a dorm, and I remember I was just talking to him about something important to me, and the album ended. And I said, do you want me to turn that over? He goes, nah, he says, no big deal. He says, I'd rather hear what you're saying. And I remember that was really powerful for me because I'm not sure I'd understood to that point that we have the opportunity to really try to hear someone, try to hear their heart, right? And I don't have to put my preconceived ideas on them. I can try to hear them. And when I do it that way, then I'm letting them talk and share, and I'm getting understanding from them what they're thinking and why they're doing what they're doing, right? Instead of me just simply reacting based on the way I feel about what they're doing or what I think they're doing, right? This was big for me in really getting serious about the Lord because I said Barry cares for me. He wants to hear who I really am, right? He's not simply here just to do his thing in the day, to just be together and listen to tunes, and the tunes are key. No, it's like he's really trying to hear my heart. And of course, this is love, right? This is what love does. Love wants to hear that other person. Love wants to understand where they're at. And so this is the great opportunity, you know, to really hear people. So we're able to do this then with believers, with whoever we meet, our family. We're able to try to really hear them. And of course, we always ask the Lord for more time because, you know, you always run out of time, you know, on these things. Depending on what style of person you are, right? Some people really need a lot of time to really be heard. Other people, it's like they'd rather have works of service for them. You know, their love actions, doing things for them, right? There's just, or words of affirmation. Some people really want to hear words said to value them. Others people are like, well, I don't really want words. You know, I want somebody to do something for me, not just talk about it. So we all have different love languages here. But it's like when we're able to sit and listen and ask and kind of join hearts, it's like in the Lord, then there's a lot of clarity that comes into these things, and we're able to be there and honor each other. And of course, the greatest thing ever of righteousness that we harvest in these things is just the presence of the Lord, right? It's the presence of the Most High, the presence of the Eternal One. I mean, you know, God, think about it. God that created all there is, the millions of years, light years of the universe that we see, just the massive expanse that we have just no concept of, right? He's bigger than that. And he's pure generosity. Pure generosity. Nothing blemishes him. Pure generosity. I mean, what is this, right? How do I deal with this? I mean, I'm so far from that. How do I even deal with that? But he over time gets us more and more acquainted with himself that way. He gets us more and more acquainted with how generous and good he is. And so we then begin to have that life flowing into our body. We start realizing, oh, there's more than what I'm seeing. There's the eternal, there's the resources of eternity that can come into me. There's the resources, there's the love, there's the care, there's the wisdom. There's the being insightful into situations. There's the doctrine, the good doctrine, right? There's the word of knowledge to somebody. There's the miracle. There's the healing. There's the raising somebody from the dead, right? That can come from the eternity that he brings in his presence into us when we want to honor him and worship him and hold him up as the first thing ever, the greatest thing ever, right? When we honor and bless him. And these things start to happen for us more and more and more and more richly, right? As we stay in that place of building our character before him. And so, you know, good character is not its own reward, but in the human sense, but it does lead to the presence of God. And that is the ultimate reward that we have. That is the greatest reward that we ever have. And so it's an awesome, incredible thing. So we have the opportunity to do these things, and as we're finishing up here, John, I'm almost done. As we have the opportunity to do these things, and so, you know, it's like today is the day to address yourself again to these things, and to continue to focus on them. And so we have the opportunity. So you are the one that has the ability to decide to work on your own character. You are the one. You're the one who has the ability to decide that. Nobody else does. You have that opportunity. You have that ability, that choice, that great thing. And so, you know, today is that opportunity. Today is that opportunity. So it's a great thing. And I'm not quite sure how this fits in, but it's kind of in the same area. And so yeah, I can't really tie this segue this one, but I just thought this joke was so funny today. We had a good conversation with Karen, and so she goes, "Yeah, there's a joke out there talking about sticking with things or doing things, right? Continuing." She says, "Somebody asked this old married couple at about 90 why they were divorcing at 90, and they said, "Well, we wanted to wait till the kids died." So So I'm not quite sure how that fits in exactly there, but I think it's in the vicinity, right? So don't wait for your kids to die on these things. So yeah, so Father, we thank you for your mercy, your grace, your goodness. We thank you that you are the great one, the honorable one. Thank you that you are the source of who we are and the sustenance and the blessing and the honor. Thank you that you are setting our hearts in the forward position with you. Thank you that there are never full failures in this earth when we're in you ever. There's never, ever a full failure on this earth in you, but they are simply opportunities to step forward into something greater in your presence. We are so grateful for that. Father, thank you for expanding the future of love and pure communication and grace. Thank you for expanding that from eternity back to us now in this fractured world. Thank you for bringing the knowledge and revelation of what things will be and letting us experience that even now in your presence and in our community. Lord, we thank you. We honor you. We bless you today. Mark us this day with even more of your kingdom and your mercy and your truth. Father, we just honor and bless your name. Grow our plants. Grow our for you up in massive, massive ways, Lord, as you operate in our midst. We give you honor and glory and blessing in Christ's name.